This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Food for Thought, Thoughts If It Were You, Season 3. I'm your host, Neo Gentrix, and we're kicking off a brand new series today, one that touches the lives of almost every single person who listens. Think about your morning routine. Okay, what's the first thing you reach for millions and billions of people around the world? It's a cup of coffee, a can of soda, an energy drink, a hot cup of tea. Personally, I love those. It's the ritual that signals the start of the day, the fuel that powers our late night work sessions, and the social lubricant for our conversations. But then that now begs the question. What is this substance we're so willingly consuming every single day? What is it actually doing to our bodies, our brains, our well-being? Well, I'll tell you. Today, we're taking a deep dive, honest dive, into caffeine. We're going to explore the science of how it works, the surprising benefits, and the significant, often hidden, costs of our daily habit. We'll also look at why caffeine you get here in the United States might be a completely different animal than what is consumed in the rest of the world. And we will also explore healthier, more beneficial alternatives, like the everly increasing popular mushroom coffee, just to give an example, our transition in talking about different things today. So this essential guide is basically to understand the world's favorite drug, caffeine. All right, let's get started with part one. First, we'll start with the science of coffee. What is it really? Okay, this is not really this is a no-brainer. Okay, we all have a pretty good idea, or at least a core thought of what we think coffee is, right? So let's start with the basics. What is caffeine? Well, at its core, caffeine is a natural central nervous system stimulant. Okay, it's basically found in leaves, seeds, fruit of, well, more than 60 different plants. And the most common sources are, of course, the coffee beans that everyone knows about, right? Tea leaves, because tea actually has caffeine in it. Cacao pods, which basically gives us chocolate. Yeah, you can get caffeine from chocolate. That's completely reasonable. It's also classified as a psychoactive drug, which simply means it's a substance that crosses that blood-brain barrier that we've talked about in previous episodes that temporarily alters our mental processes, how we feel, think, behave, act, things like that. You know what I mean? But how does it work, right? The magic, or perhaps the mischief, if you will, happens at a microscopic level in your brain. Throughout the day, as your brain works, it produces neurotransmitters called adenosine. Think of adenosine as your brain's natural sleep inducer, okay? As adenosine levels build up, they plug into special receptors in your brain, which slows down the nerve cell activity and makes you feel tired. Okay, it's your body's way of telling you, hey, stupid, it's time to rest. It's time to recharge. It's time for you to hit the hay, as it will, you know? Now, caffeine has a molecular structure that's remarkably similar to adenosine, right? So when you drink coffee, the caffeine travels to your brain, fits perfectly into those same receptors that goes in there, like a key fitting into a lock. But instead of slowing things down, like adenosine does, it blocks them. It's essentially a bouncer at the club door telling adenosine, yeah, by the way, you can't come in right now. You're not allowed here. By blocking these sleepy signals, caffeine allows your brain's natural stimulants, like dopamine and glutamine, to run wild. This creates a heightened state of alertness, focus, even improved mood. You're not actually gaining energy here, by the way. I just want to go ahead and set this the record straight, okay? You're just borrowing it from later by tricking your brain into ignoring its own fatigue signs. Basically, you're pulling more energy from other parts of your body to do whatever it is you want to do for a little bit longer. And if I'm being perfectly honest, that's not healthy. Sure, you'll complete whatever task you're trying to complete, but then that begs the question, what are the risks? You know? Next, we're going to go ahead and take a look at the upside, and then we're going to go ahead and look at the downside of that, too, while we're at it. It sounds like fun, doesn't it? All right. Let's start on part two, the upside, and why we love coffee. I'm speaking about people in general, not me. Believe it or not, if I'm being perfectly fair, I don't like coffee. I never liked the way it tastes. I've never liked the way it functions, because unlike tea, which is a gradual increase, allowing your body to still produce some energy, coffee doesn't do that. So, but we'll cover that in a second. First, here's the reasons why people seem to love coffee, okay? Now, the reason caffeine is the most popular drug on the planet, when used correctly and in moderation, of course, it has some undeniable benefits. First off, right? It increases alertness and concentration. This is the biggest one, right? The morning cup clears the cobwebs, sharpens your focus, helps you power through tasks that require sustained mental effort. It's a powerful tool for productivity. You need to stay up a little bit longer. You need to be able to complete that extra assignment for class or get that job done for your boss so you're not in trouble the next morning or running the risk of being fired. It's perfect for that. The second reason is it improves physical performance. Caffeine is one of the most studied and effective performance-enhancing supplements. It stimulates your nervous system and increases adrenaline. It helps your body mobilize fatty acids to use as fuel, which can improve both endurance and high-intensity exercises. It's wonderful for that. Hell, it even improves a mood elevation, which, being perfectly fair, you know, is great for people who are just kind of like sad, depressed, mean, for whatever reason when they wake up. By improving or influencing the dopamine levels in your body, caffeine can have a mild but noticeable mood boosting effect. Feeling of being well-being, motivated after your first cup of coffee isn't in your head. There's a real neurochemical basis and explanation for that, which I will not go into because that would be lengthy and boring, and y'all didn't come here for that, right? Y'all came here for the basic core facts, so you know why you're even drinking coffee in the first place, right? So those are the first three. The last one is it's packed with antioxidants, or at least it used to be, but we'll get to that in a minute. This is often overlooked as a benefit. The natural sources of caffeine, especially high-quality caffeine, and tea, particularly green tea, but still tea, are loaded with antioxidants. These are compounds that fight against cellular damage and inflammation in your body. In fact, for many people in the Western world, coffee is the single largest source of antioxidants in their diet. Even though they may not drink a huge amount of it, it's processed differently, so it's handled a little bit differently in other countries versus here. Some long-term studies have even linked moderate, regular coffee and tea consumption to lower risks of certain diseases. That being said, you know, because people here in America can't be normal by any sense of the word, the key words here are always moderate and regular. This is where the dark side of this starts to emerge in, you know, like I said, the downside of this. So let's get on with part three, the downside. The hidden costs of your habit, okay? I know I keep slightly hinting at this and that about how coffee isn't as great as it should be, but there's a reason behind that, right? Like, it has a lot of good potential. It has a lot of good benefits. It's a great aesthetic to your everyday life. And since it's a drug that just anyone can basically go to the store and buy, it's almost free. Hell, you can grow it in your backyard if you know how. There's something wrong with that. Although, considering the type of coffee that you're trying to grow, keep in mind that different coffees come from different places, and while it may seem disgusting as to how they grow and raise it, it still gets cleaned, washed, roasted, if it's roasted, or smoked, because apparently smoked coffee beans is a thing. before it's ever ground up, put in a package, and served to you. Okay? If you want to know the history of select specific coffees, I'll gladly do an episode on that if y'all want to hear it. But for the most part, like I said, there is a downside. There are hidden costs to your habit of drinking coffee. For all its benefits, our relationship with caffeine often comes with significant hidden costs. Like everything in moderation, right? First things first. Like I said, it makes you energetic. However, the first downside is sleep disruption, okay? This is without a doubt the most significant and damaging downside. Caffeine has an average half-life of about 5 to 6 hours in your body. This means if you drink a cup of coffee at around 3 p.m., half of that caffeine will still be circulating in your system up until at least at the latest 9 p.m. While you might be able to fall asleep, that lingering caffeine will prevent you from entering the deepest sleep for your body to enter what's known as the most restorative stages of sleep to actually do anything. Thus, you'll wake up not so refreshed, which makes you, what's the word I'm looking for, want to reach for more caffeine the next morning, creating a very vicious, self-perpetuating cycle of poor sleep and dependency. You know, like in those old cartoons where the parents get up, they're groggy, don't want to be bothered, don't want to be talked to until they had their first cup of coffee, that type of thing. Because you put your body into a position where it's dependent on that. Not something it should have had, like a little bit here, a little bit there. No, it's like, I gotta have it or I can't function type of thing, you know? Second, anxiety and jitters. Sorry. Caffeine triggers the fight or flight response by stimulating the release of adrenaline. Ooh, Lord have mercy. Adrenaline and cortisol. For individuals who are sensitive to its effects, or for anyone who consumes way too much of it, this can lead to feelings of anxiety, nervousness, heart palpitations, or the uncomfortable jitters, as it's called. And when I say heart palpitations, it means you've pushed yourself to the point where if you slow down for like a second and just take a breath, you can feel your heart racing in your chest, beating like crazy. And you're not doing anything. That means your body is exhausted. It has way too much caffeine in it, and it's trying to process it, and it can't. It's basically just your body being in a state of high alert with absolutely no threat to fight or flee from, and trying to figure out what to do with all that extra energy and everything else it has now circulating through it that it should not have. It should not be there, you know? And on that note, for some people who have so much of it, it also creates another issue, which brings us to my third point. Dependency and withdrawal. Yeah, you wouldn't think too much of that, right? You wouldn't think, it was like, but it's just something I buy over the counter. I can't become dependent on it. I can't have withdrawal symptoms. Yes, you can. Because at the end of the day, this is where this drug's aspect becomes undeniable. When you're consistently blocking those adenosine receptors with caffeine, your brain adapts. It says, okay, if you're going to block those sleepy signals, and you're not going to listen to me, I'll just going to build up more of them. Just so I can catch up and get what I need since you won't give it to me. It turns up the volume on the fatigue signals. It basically says that, okay, now, since you want to drink so much of it, and I need you to actually be able to sleep at a certain point, when you skip your morning coffee, all those receptors are suddenly open all at once. And the adenosine that you have comes flooding in from what you have built up overnight. This is what causes those brutal symptoms of caffeine withdrawal. And when I say caffeine withdrawal, I'm not talking about like drug withdrawal where you gotta have it, gotta have it, gotta have it. No, no, something different entirely. More on the side of like, what's it called? Splitting headaches, for one. Crushing fatigue, being just worn out for no reason and you haven't done anything. Brain fog, not being able to think straight, right? Or, and I've seen this happen very often, intense irritability, okay? At this point, you're not even drinking coffee to get ahead anymore. You're drinking just to feel normal, just to go back to what you consider to be your normal everyday life. But this isn't normal. This isn't you. I know we all laugh. It was like, no, that's not normal. People don't do that. And then we laugh and say, you know, but what is normal? Think about this for a minute, okay? People in the past, let's use the Bible, for example. It's probably the easiest example I can do. You know, we all read the story about the children of Israel, the Exodus from Egypt, all that stuff, right? Think about this for a minute. caffeine wasn't a thing back then. These people had to get up early in the morning to tend to sheep, their lands, take care of everything. They had to do this throughout the day. If they had crops, they had to take care of their land. They had to do the crops, turn the crops, cook, take care of their families, do a whole bunch of different things throughout the day. Coffee wasn't a thing. Tea, maybe. I won't put that past them. Unless we're talking about them wandering in the wilderness, and of course, you know, it's whatever was there. But, I mean, in the rest of the Bible, most of them lived in well-to-do areas where there was access to sea, fish, and a whole bunch of other stuff, but caffeine wasn't a mainstay. They didn't drink this to get up in the morning. They didn't drink this to keep going. Life was a lot simpler back then, even now, okay? You can go about your normal everyday doing everything you need to do. Get up in the morning, go to bed in the evening. If you plan your life around this, you don't need this. This is not a necessity, yet people feel the need that they have to have coffee to function. Especially here in America. And that's, you know what? Let's talk about that. All right. So part four. This is going to be a quick segment, okay? The American coffee machine. You can hear the irritability in my voice. Okay. Now, it's important to understand that not all caffeine is created equal, and the way caffeine is delivered and consumed here in the United States is often fundamentally different from the rest of the world. The issue isn't just caffeine. It's the package it comes in. The United States market is absolutely dominated by what I would like to call caffeine delivery systems, if you will. Energy drinks, massive sodas. I mean, you name it, it's here. Like, how do I put it? These products don't just contain caffeine. They combine it with, like, artificial sugars, staggering amounts of sugars, but still artificial sugars, high fructose corn syrup, which we've learned is not good for you. I'll do an episode on stuff like that a little bit later to contribute to what we covered in season two about it in season one, but artificial flavors, a cocktail of other stimulants like taurine and guana. I'm pretty sure I butchered that, but my point is that, you know, it's not exactly great as far as the body's concerned. This chemical combination creates a much more intense and addictive spike in energy, followed by an even more dramatic crash. Like, it just seems like it's, how do I put it? Let's contrast it with the rest of the world, first off, okay? In many countries, regulations on coffee and sugar are far stricter. Standard Italian espresso is about 1 ounce. A large American coffee contains about 20 ounces or more. We've not only supersized our addiction, we made it, as we say here in Texas, Texas-sized. For no reason. Have we gained in this? Like, it just seems like, I don't know. Anyway, part of this is due to a regulatory loophole in the FDA. Okay? It basically states that the FDA regulates caffeine as a food additive in sodas. Not something your body needs. It's just an additive. You can put caffeine in this. You put caffeine in this. You put caffeine in this. You got to put it on the label. But they can put it in pretty much whatever they want. It's which is why a can of Coke has a relatively modest amount of it, because they're like, oh, it's just an additive. It's not an additive. And then on top of that, you know, many energy drinks classify them as a dietary supplement, which allows them to bypass these regulations and pack about 2 or 3 times or 4 or 5 times as much in caffeine. It's not okay. It just, I don't know. It's not something that a lot of people should be getting a lot of. Let's just put it that way. All right. Let's go ahead and finish up with the last section. Part 5 of the stuff I have listed here. Healthier alternatives, okay? The search for basically a better buzz, right? We're all looking for a better buzz. Druggies specifically. But I mean, if you look at it from the perspective of caffeine being a drug, I mean, it's so different, right? So what's the solution? Is the only answer to quit entirely? Well, no, you don't have to quit, not necessarily. The goal is to move from just mindless consumption to mindful energy. You know, if you know you need it, get it, but don't just chug like two or three or 15, 20 shots of caffeine. I know a guy who was working overnight as a pharmacist, and he had a cup of coffee with him. That's one of those sealed cylinders, and he had about 15 shots of caffeine in there. And I'm looking at him like, you're a pharmacist, dude. Are you trying to kill yourself? Like, for real? You know, anyway. Thankfully, there are some incredible alternatives that provide focus and alertness without severe downsides. First thing on this list is tea. And I mentioned it before, but I'll say it again. The original smart drug is tea. Tea is the perfect example of an intelligent design. Yes, it does contain caffeine, but it's in lower doses than coffee. And more importantly, the tea contains unique amino acids like L-theanine. L-theanine promotes a state of calm, relaxed alertness. When you combine the stimulant effect of caffeine with a calming effect of L-theanine, you get a smooth, focused energy that comes out as needed in little bursts, little here, little there, little there, little there, and it doesn't burn you out, okay? It gives it to you without the jitters, the anxiety, and it also gives your body time to try to relax in a state where it can reproduce some of that energy a little bit at a time, so you're not so worn out later. This is why monks have used tea for meditation for centuries. The other one is one that's a little more common now. It's becoming more popular. The modern-day challenger, if you will, mushroom coffee. It's a newer innovation that's gaining incredible popularity for a good reason, too. It's a blend of ground coffee with extracts of medicinal mushrooms. No. First off, it doesn't taste like mushrooms. Okay, let me go ahead and say that now. It tastes like coffee. It's just made with mushrooms. But it has a more smoother, less acidic profile. Because sometimes when you drink coffee, it makes your stomach acidic and you have acid reflux from coffee. This doesn't have this effect, okay? The key is that it typically contains less caffeine than a regular cup of coffee, immediately reducing the risk of jitters, and it adds benefits like adaptogens or nootropics. These are the most common mushrooms. I'm going to list them off right quick that have these in here, and they basically help improve how your body reacts, how it acts, and helps you understand more what it how do I describe this in context. Adaptogens, these are natural substances believed to help your body adapt to stress, basically exert a normalized effect on bodily processes. In cordyceps, for example, is, as I'm about to mention, are in a type of adaptogen that supports physical stamina, energy production at a cellular level. Nootropics, on the other hand, these are substances that are believed to enhance cognitive functions, such as memory, creativity, motivation, things of that nature. With that being said, the first mushroom that's used is lion's mane. First off, lion's mane is a powerful nootropic believed to support brain health, memory, and focus by stimulating nerve growth factor. The next is chaga, an antioxidant powerhouse that supports your immune function, so an immunity booster. And then, of course, the cordyceps I mentioned before for supporting physical stamina, energy production, and basically at a cellular level, okay? The result of using these is a more balanced energy, a gentle lift from the caffeine without the supporting undergrowth of becoming addicted to it by the cognitive and physical benefits of the mushrooms. Although there are other fantastic alternatives like matcha, which is basically a powdered green tea with an exceptionally high level of L-theanine, providing a long-lasting state of calm focus. There's also yerba mate. I'm not a huge fan of it, but it does do pretty good. It's a traditional South American tea known for providing a sustained, robust energy boost that many describe as being a more balanced, less jittery effect than coffee. So it's like an in-between between the mushroom coffee and regular tea. I'm sorry, the tea, mushroom coffee, and regular coffee. And then there's chicory root coffee. Now, for those who want to quit caffeine entirely but miss the taste of the coffee, this is the one for you. It's caffeine-free as an alternative, and it's made from roasting chicory root that has a surprisingly, remarkably similar dark, rich flavor and contains a prebiotic fiber that is also great for your gut health. So keep that in mind. Like I said before, not a fan of coffee, wouldn't drink it to start with, so as far as I'm concerned, I wouldn't care for chicory root either. I would probably just stick to tea to start with. So, but this is just a me thing, right? So, but that basically wraps up my quick run through of what coffee is, what it does, and whether or not it's good for you or not. Long term answer, no, it's definitely not good for you. But in the short term, it could be fine, right? Okay, so with all that being said in today's episode, what's the takeaway here? Caffeine is not the enemy. Well, yeah, that's true. It's not. It's a tool. And like any tool or any powerful tool, it needs to be understood, used with respect. The problem here isn't the substance itself, all right? It's the culture of mindless overconsumption that surrounds it. Partially, America is to blame for that because most other countries don't really have this issue. But I mean, the giant sugar-laden drinks that we use to mask our deeper problems, and then the chronic sleep deprivation issue that we deal with here, I mean, they have to be addressed. The goal is to become more conscious, okay? Ask yourself this. Why am I even reaching for this in the first place? When you, the next time you go out and you want to grab a cup of coffee, or you think that you need it, or you're like, I'm feeling a little sleepy, let me grab this. Think about that. Why am I reaching for this? To explore alternatives that fuel our bodies and brains in a more susceptible and healthier way would be the better way to go about it. But most people are going to go for the quicker, cheaper option that they can find. Now, whether it's the ancient wisdom of tea or the modern innovation of mushroom coffee, there are better ways to find your focus and your energy. I mean, this is a call I'm making for people to start moving from being a slave to your stimulants to being the master of the energy that you actually have and need. It's just some food for thought, if you will. Anyway, this has been Food for Thought by Neogentrix. Thank you for listening. I'll see you guys next time. Don't forget to look for me on YouTube under Evergreen Nexus Media if you want to leave a comment for a suggestion for another video. Or if you want to listen to me on some other platform, feel free to check the description of my YouTube channel or the description of this audio, depending on where you're listening on, whether it's Amazon Music, Pandora, Apple Music, iCast, Mania, Deezer, or iHeartRadio. I'll catch you guys later. Peace.